Dave, what do you do and where do you do it at?
I'm the woody biomass utilization program manager, which is a mouthful for saying trying to find ways to utilize wood that is typically low value or no value.
All right, and where do you manage this program?
I work for the Forest Service, and I'm based out of Missoula, Montana, but I cover 6 states in the Rocky Mountain area.
And don't you have a specialty with schools?
Yeah, part of the effort is the Fuels for Schools and Beyond initiative, and that's focused on heating systems or heat and power in schools, hospitals, prisons, all kinds of facilities.
Now, this program just wasn't created overnight in response to high fuel prices. It sounds like you've been doing it for a while, right?
Yeah, we actually started this in 2001 after a major fire year in 2000 in Montana and Idaho. And we were wanting to, well, actually Congress passed the National Fire Management Plan, and we were directed to try and reduce the fire hazard by reducing the amount of flammable material out there and to try and find ways to utilize it. And so that's where I came in, is ways to utilize it. And so the biomass heating systems were an option that were existing in New England, back in Vermont. And so we said, well, golly, that looks like a really good idea. Why don't we try it out here?
I think a lot of people in Southeast Alaska are familiar with this idea because it's been implemented in Craig, but they're actually using sort of a byproduct from the mills down there. But it sounds like you've actually got people going out into the woods, and so this is sort of an actively managed program.
Yes, and that's kind of the logical connection that we'll be talking about at the conference here in Sitka, is making that linkage not just to the residues from manufacturers, because our program has utilized some of those residues from sawmills or post and pole manufacturers. But yeah, we're focused on where we're thinning out the forest to reduce fire hazard, to reduce the risk of bark beetle infestations, and utilizing that. And one of the challenges is, how do you effectively handle and transport that to an end user? So we've been involved in the development of the heating systems, but also in more efficient ways of transporting the material and how to store it, and work through a number of those kinds of issues that come about. And that's what we'll be talking about in this conference, are a lot of those different aspects.
I think that is part of the head-scratcher here in Sitka and Southeast Alaska, is how do you get a net positive gain just in terms of BTUs in working with these materials? How do you get more energy out and heat than you invest in just getting this stuff out of the woods?
We've got a Forest Service research lab that's based out of here in Missoula, mm-hmm. and some of the folks that I work with at different times, they did an analysis that looked at, so what's the energy trade-off from the diesel that it takes to, you know, harvest the material, grind it up, and haul it, and, you know, have it utilized, versus the energy that you get out of it. And I was very pleased and excited to see that the ratio of energy that you get out of it versus the diesel energy that you put into it ranged from 17 to 21 times the energy out versus the diesel fuel in.
Wow.
And that is tremendous. I mean, that's better than most oil production.
Mm-hmm. Do those ratios you're talking about, does that include, after chipping, does that include any sort of secondary processing like drying or compressing or any sort of manufacture
no.
at all?
Yeah. Nope, that's just feeding it to the boiler. So, yeah, you know, one of the things that, you know, I've talked to a few folks up there about is if, in putting this together, the opportunity to have a pellet production, which would require the drying. And so that ratio would go down, you know, because you're going to be expending that energy. But the plus side of that is with the pellets, your moisture content is down around, you know, 6 to 8%.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the efficiency in transporting it is much higher because you're transporting a lot less water and thus more BTUs.
Oh, okay. I see.
And, I mean, the amazing thing to me is that there are pellets being shipped out of Vancouver, B.C. to Europe.
And that still pays. There's still a positive bottom line on that.
Yes.
Wow. Have you had a chance to size up Southeast Alaska and the Tongass National Forest? And do you know what kind of animal we're dealing with up here?
Well, I haven't been able to explore it much yet, but I know that, you know, it's basically a rainforest. And I know the Craig system that went in, the engineers that worked on that were from down here, and I remember in some of the discussions that, you know, they're looking at taking some of the exhaust heat and piping that back through the storage so that you would, you know, dry some of that wood before it went into the boiler.
Right.
And so, you know, to the extent that you can use what that heat that was going to go out the stack anyway, you're making your system more efficient. And so I think there's tremendous opportunity. I think a bone dry ton of wood has the energy equivalent of about 2.7 barrels of oil. And up there, you know, in your 30, 40 year old plantations, you're probably talking 80,000 green tons. So, say 40,000 bone dry tons, and you start multiplying that times 2.7 barrels per bone dry ton, you know, that's a lot of energy.
It is.
Obviously, I got into this because I like trees and forests and that kind of stuff, but, you know, the amazing thing that chlorophyll represents, you know, here's this compound in these leaves that can take CO2 and some sunlight and water and put that together to store all this energy, you know, to have this wood, and it provides native habitat at the same time, you know, a water filtration system that the forest provides. You know, it's a pretty amazing system that is just kind of a gift there if we manage it sustainably.
Yeah, I've never really thought of a tree as a battery in that way, but you describe it as one almost, yeah.
Yeah, and I hadn't either, and it was, I don't know, just, you know, a couple of years ago, I was, you know, talking to some people and you know, talking about solar collectors and needing to develop batteries or, you know, ways to store the energy, you know, because obviously there's no energy generated when it's dark at night, and so solar collectors have, you know, their limitations, and you got to store the energy, and so it just kind of dawned on me that, oh, well, we've got solar collectors with a wood battery right there.
Well, be prepared to be besieged at the conference.
Well, good. That would make me feel good, because I think to me it's part of creating a sustainable future, you know, for us that's going to include, you know, tidal wave energy, you know, geothermal, you know, wind, solar, and biomass are all of these things that are going to be part of the picture. There's no silver bullet that's going to, you know, do the whole thing.
Right. We already shot that one.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Okay.
And we're still in store to see what the consequences are.
For some reason, I feel reassured talking to you. So good luck at the conference. And I hope to see you there.
All right. Bye, Robert.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.